So I'm kind of stuffy in one ear because I just put eardrops in, so.
All right, okay. I take it it's the ear that you can hear me out of, though, that you've not put eardrops in.
Unfortunately, yes, yeah.
I was actually waiting on you going, what are you saying? Say
that again. I mean, problems with earphones as well. It's weird, two things.
Start my shift at 9:20 or 9:15 even, you know what I mean? Because I can drop the kids off at 8:45 in the morning and be there for like 9:15, so...
I normally drop the kids off at the back of 3 when I get in the door.
Aye, I know, mate, aye. I've heard that. Smell it as well.
Aye, exactly. When you texted me yesterday, it was out of the blue, and I was like, well, fuck, you know, when are we doing the next pod? We never even said when we were going to do it, so, fuck, I was like, Dave, he's got his act together.
I wouldn't go that far. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Give me a hell yeah. So you didn't watch wrestling, so that doesn't make any sense to you.
No, I know some of them. I know like Giant Haystacks and Big Daddy and things like that, mate. You know, a sort of real wrestling that was back in the day when I was a wee boy on a Saturday afternoon. No, this American pish that everybody watches, you know, it's what a crap.
Sports entertainment.
I wondered what the fuck you were on about. I was like, is he fucking taking, son? Or is he speaking to somebody else? Or... Holy shit.
Oh, Dave.
Anyway.
Dave. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host, Derek, and with me is my co-host, Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
Good. I'm very well, Derek. How are you?
I'm not bad. Excellent. Done. I don't know where I'm going with it.
Derek, what, are you actually here with us tonight? I mean, I'm having a conversation with you one second, and then the next minute it sounds as if you're like having a conversation with somebody else in the room. Have you got another guest in there with you or something?
Yes, it's me. It's Mr. Sean Connery.
All right, it's that Australian guy again. Okay.
Right, we'll start with this again.
Get with it, man. Get concentrating, for God's sake.
SFA have come out and clarified why Morales was given... I say that again, fucking hell. SFA have come out and clarified why the red card for Morales was rescinded. Oh, for fuck's sake, what am I saying? I've got it written down here, I've just written it down in the wrong order. Compose yourself, Derek.
Take a deep breath, man, for God's sake.
In the stadium erupts in red, white, and blue. You've never seen anything like it. Let's go. Manchester, brace yourself. Rangers are coming!
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host, Derek, and with me is my co-host, Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
I'm very good as well. Hopefully I won't be as yawny as I was the last episode.
No, definitely not. I take it you've been on the Pro Plus and the coffee and all that tonight, yeah?
Not at all, no. I'm just hyper and I'm excited to hear for you, Dave. That's all it is.
Oh, that's good. That's really nice. you feeling okay?
Oh, definitely not. There must be something wrong, eh?
I think you've been overdosed on the kids' Calpol there, mate.
Oh, Calpol's amazing. Well, it's not the same as what it used to be. It used to be amazing, but no anymore.
No. It used to have that sort of Parma Violet type taste to it, I can remember, and then some weirdo, blooming sick person changed it to a strawberry flavour, and you know me, Derek, no. I don't do anything strawberry at all.
I don't take none of that shit, love, and neither will you, if you know what's good for you. My body's a temple.
I can't stand the smell of strawberry anything or the taste, and some sicko out there changed it to a strawberry flavour, but it used to be that sort of Parma Violet sort of taste that was great. I can always remember that, but nah. No, it's no nice anymore, mate, but I was just wondering if that's maybe what you had been, you know, taking maybe last week, you know, a wee bit drowsy, you've been giving the kid a wee bit Calpol because she's maybe not feeling great and you've had a couple of wee spoonfuls yourself, but...
Well, my mate, when he was younger, got his had to get his stomach pumped because he drank a full bottle of Calpol, so...
Really?
Let that be a lesson to you.
Anyway, let's get back to talking about Rangers.
You brought up the Calpol, you know. So, we have only got one game to cover this week. Fortunately, that was obviously due to the international break. We've got the Villarreal game to look forward to as well, which we'll preview shortly. So,
Derek, just even the mention of Villarreal, you know, playing Villarreal this week, that is just, you know, you really can't comprehend that now, can you? Just going by where we've been the last 6 years, we're playing Villarreal on Thursday.
Calm down, Dave. We'll get into it.
Let that sink in. Can't wait.
I think it's you that's needing some medication.
No, this is, I'm actually sitting with my third giant coffee of the evening.
That'll explain stuff then.
That will also explain in about half an hour when I need to go for a pee.
Aye, well. So, we will go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. So, the game we've got to cover this week is Sunday the 16th of September. It was a 4-0 home win against Dundee. Now, Dave, you never seen any of it, did you?
Derek, I've watched the highlights, Derek. I've safe watched the goals back loads and loads of times, but no, I didn't get to see the game at all. I was in the land of Nod because my son had a rather important Scottish Cup match of his own on Saturday morning, and as you know, as constant night shift workers, I had basically come in from my shift, get him ready and take up his football. So I didn't actually get to my bed till about 12 o'clock midday, and I was back out again that night. So I was in my bed at 12. I woke up at about 4:30. I had a quick look at my phone just to see what the score was. I saw that we were winning comfortably. I went back to sleep, and then before I knew it was like 6:45 at night, and I'd basically just to get up, get ready for my work and go out again. So I didn't get to see all the game, but I've certainly watched the highlights and I've seen all the reaction on Twitter, but I'm sure you will give me an expert analysis of the match. No, I'm building this up for you and anything, mate.
I don't know about that, but you know, call yourself a Rangers fan, no staying up for it, you know, shocking.
Like I said, my son had a very important Scottish Cup match against quite a famous team, actually, from the West, who have had quite a few ex-professionals started off there, a team called Mill United. You heard of them before, Derek?
I've not, no.
I believe they were Barry Ferguson's original team when he was younger, so I was getting told, and a few others, but they had a fantastic victory, so it was well worth staying up for, but unfortunately I didn't get to see the Rangers game. But that's the perils of parenthood sometimes, Derek. It's one of these things, but I'm glad that we won, and we won convincingly anyway, but I'll let you get into that.
Yes, we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Katic, Barisic, Halliday, Koulibaly, Arfield, Candias, Kent and Morelos. On the subs bench we had Fotheringham, Flanagan, Worrell, McCrory, Gredza, Middleton and Lafferty. And really we got off to a fantastic start right in the third minute, 1-0 Koulibaly. There was sustained pressure in the Dundee box, resulting in Barisic having a shot on the edge of the box. It was kind of sclaffed, the defender tried to kick it out, Morelos got a foot to it, laid it off to Koulibaly, who tapped it in really coolly, and that was just the start of things to come from Koulibaly in that game. It was brilliant to see.
Yeah, it was. I actually thought, when I look back in the highlights, Derek, that Morelos was getting ready to pull the trigger and Koulibaly got in there before him. You know, he sort of stole it off him at the last second. But great to see that we've got guys that are actually fighting to hammer the ball into the back of the net.
Yep. We thought it was going to be an absolute cricket score on the 7th minute. The ball was in the back of the net from Morelos, however, it was ruled offside. After watching it back in the actual main camera several times, and there's been several stills done of it, you know, there was no way he was offside. From a real-time perspective, he looked as if he had came from behind. Looking at, again, the stills, the linesman was actually about 3 paces behind the ball and behind the line, so how he could have even judged that is unbelievable, which referees and linesmen making things up, we'll get to later on in the show. RTV never really had a clear replay of it. They all showed the close-ups, which never gave a great angle, but it was as clear of one side as you could get, and it would have been a cracking goal as well, because it was a great counter-attacking move with the ball going to Candias on the right. He looked up, great cross to Morelos, and he put it into the back of net. Just a fantastic move. You could have been forgiven, and maybe it was a bit of guesswork from the linesman, because you know, Morelos is offside a lot of the time as well, so he maybe just thought, oh, he's looks maybe offside, right, we'll just
well,
give it.
That's what I'm thinking, Derek. It's as if, you know, his reputation for being offside, it's just, you know, the referees are maybe automatically saying, oh, I will, you know, I thought there was maybe a hint of offside there, so oh, I can see that it's Morelos. I would hate to think that that was the case, Derek, but going by, certainly when I watched the replays back, he certainly didn't look offside to me at all.
No, it certainly wasn't, so take that on the chin, but there's coming a very, you know, distinct pattern here about these type of things, and as I said, we'll get into it later on. But on the 8th minute, a minute later, there was a shot from Dundee that went just wide. However, we did go 2-0 up on the 13th minute with Ryan Kent. Started off on the left at the halfway line, ball passed into the centre, worked into the edge of the box, lovely close touch play and a lovely layoff from Arfield to Kent in the box, and he slotted it home coolly.
It was a great goal, Derek, right? I mean, he started and finished it. He looked totally menacing. I think this has definitely been Kent's best game for us, really direct. He had a lot of space in the game as well, Derek, and as you say, the 1-2 that he played with Arfield was just perfect. He had one thing on his mind, that he was going right into the centre of that box and he was going to shoot, and, you know, it was a fantastic goal. Really, really good play.
Yep. On the 29th minute, Koulibaly had an overhead kick on the edge of the box that went just went over the bar. When you're doing overhead kicks, it shows you that you're playing pretty well, doesn't it?
Confidence is sky high.
I mean, certainly we were knocking the ball around very well throughout the game, throughout the first half anyway, at least. And, you know, Dundee, they never really had anything clear cut. It was all kind of fizzled out by the time it got to our box. The obviously one concerning thing was that they were, you know, there was a couple of occasions when the boy did break all the way through, and, you know, he needed stamped out in midfield, and there was not an enforcer there in midfield to do that. So that was the only concerning thing. I think that's maybe what Gerard was maybe intimating in his post-match summary, when he was you know, saying he wasn't happy at a 4, well, there was aspects of it that he wasn't happy after winning 4-0, but we'll get into that shortly as well. 35th minute, Kent had a shot in the box, forcing a good save from the keeper and out for the corner. 41st minute, there was good play on the counter-attack with Tavernier and Arfield interlinking, and Arfield getting a shot off, making the keeper pull off a good save. And on the 47th minute, well into injury time, Morelos was brought down in the box, clear penalty, and Tavernier converted the penalty. Quite surprised that Morelos never tried to force his issue and get him to take it, because, you know, he certainly was playing well. Well, he was getting chances. He was unfortunate not to get the well, he did score a great goal that was ruled offside unfairly, and he did create that there. So, but obviously the captain.
I think we all know that Tav takes the penalties, Derek. I think that's, you know, the first rule. But that move in itself was fantastic, Derek. Some of the passing play and the speed in which we broke as well, and then you know, an incredible ball through for Morelos as well. You know, it was great play and clear cut penalty, and that was fired to the net. And you know, 3-0 up at half time, absolute dream.
Yeah. Now, one of the reasons why I think there was quite a bit, I think there was about 3 or 4 minutes injury time in the first half, was because the referee was given fouls against Dundee for what was pretty dangerous challenges, a lot of them, and he wasn't dishing out any yellow cards at all. It was baffling. Some of the tackles were, you know, stud showing. Some of the tackles were high, and he was just allowing the players to play on as if, you know, nothing had happened. You know, he certainly gave the foul on a fair few occasions, but, you know, certainly a lot of the challenges warranted a card, and I think that played into what happened, you know, later on in the game.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Into the second half anyway, on the 48th minute, there was a ball played long down left. Candias nipped in before the defender. Great vision by Candias to find Morelos in the middle, who was unmarked. Morelos took the ball, taking too much time. That allowed the defender and the keeper to compose himself. Morelos did eventually have a shot, but it hit the defender and blocked it. Something Morelos, you know, he had a plenty of time just to compose himself and take the shot, but he seemed to want to take that one touch much extra, and that allowed, as I said, allowed the keeper and defender to get composed themselves. So disappointing for Morelos there, and I think occasionally he does suffer from what Kenny Miller did, is he sometimes maybe not panics, but you know, he finds himself with a lot of time and he's maybe caught in two minds about what to do.
Yeah, I think he's, as you say, as it was very true about Kenny Miller. Kenny Miller was a great striker when he didn't have time to think about it, Derek, when he just basically had that one, you know, chance to shoot and score. Nine times out of ten he would do that, but just like you say, when he had too much time in his hands, he would, you know, he would hesitate slightly, and it gives the other team, you know, that sort of advantage to get back or to get a, you know, the goalkeeper a save and things like that. So you could well be right there.
Yeah. Now, in this half, the complete opposite with the referee happened. He was, you know, for more niggly challenges we were making and more niggly fouls, he was giving our players yellow cards. It was just the complete opposite, where he was card shy in the first half. He was certainly card happy to us in the second half, which was baffling, to be honest. But, you know, it's par for the course with Scottish referees, isn't it?
Oh, okay. It's just the inconsistency now, Derek, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like we seem to be talking more about referees these days than we are talking about the actual football, and the good thing is it's not just us, it's a bad thing, but it's not just the Rangers fans that are complaining about it now. When you've seen, I mean, I actually watched the highlights of the Hibs Kilmarnock game at the weekend there, and the refereeing decisions there were absolutely atrocious as well. So it isn't just us, but I think we kind of, you know, it's highlighted just because we are, you know, watching our games and summarising our games, it's getting highlighted for us. But the standard of referee in Scotland as a whole is just shocking at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. 54th minute, Arfield had a header just over the bar after a great skill and great cross from Kent on the left. 55th minute, Koulibaly came off and Middleton came on. I think that was more just to preserve him for the game on Thursday, because he was playing out of his skin again in this game.
Yep.
58th minute, Morelos on the right of the box drills it goalbound, but the keeper got a slight touch it and put it out for the corner. Not sure if it was more of a cross than a shot from Morelos, but it was a decent effort none the same. 63rd minute, another bit of controversy. Morelos was clearly taken out on the edge of the box and nothing given. No attempt to play the ball either. So, you know, there was a clear foul. It was a clear, I can't remember if it was a potential red card offence for not even attempting to play the ball, but not even a foul given. Disgraceful refereeing again. 64th minute, Kent came off and Lafferty came on. Kent was, as you said earlier, that was his best game for us. He's just coming in more and more into the game. I can't believe some fans on Twitter were you know, upset with him over the last couple of games for not being playing well, because he's been playing out his skin, I thought. 67th minute, Lafferty had a shot from distance, but it was a comfortable save from the keeper. 75th minute, Morelos came off and we got our first look at Grejda, didn't we?
That's right, yeah. And Derek, there's your your answer when we're talking about Ryan Kent. He knows now that we've got another established left winger in there, a guy who we've all got high hopes for, so he's maybe said to himself, look, I want to retain my place in this team, so maybe that's the wee kick up the backside. You know, I mean, he's done all right for us, Kent, but this was a clear improvement in this game, so maybe that wee bit of added pressure, knowing that there's a player there that's, you know, trying to get in the team as well, is maybe going to spur him on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's maybe been one of the major issues, and I think we highlighted this in you know, previous seasons of the pod, where in past seasons where the team never, or some of the players never had any competition, so they just felt they could waltz in and they would get their game willy-nilly, because they know they didn't need to put in a performance, their place was guaranteed. So absolutely, and I think that's what Gerrard's been building, as he's always said, I want, you know, two players for every position, so it gives them that competition. So brilliant. And another bit of moment of madness, I don't know if it was a moment of madness from Miller or the referee, but Kenny Miller got a straight red card in the 77th minute. It was a fast-paced challenge, absolutely, but the studs weren't showing. He did catch the man, absolutely, but, you know, I don't think there was any intent. He went for the ball. I think he was just travelling at so much pace, and he got a straight red card. I thought it was completely harsh. He had, mind you, been previously booked in a challenge which resulted in Andy Halliday having his nose broken. If this had been the second yellow card, you would have said, right, fair enough. But for him to get a straight red card for it, it was baffling from the referee. I don't think there's many Rangers fans that actually think it was a straight red card, apart from Johnny Patterson on Twitter there. But, you know, it was a strange decision. And even stranger was the fact that a vast majority of the Ibrox crowd applauded him off the park. I don't like applauding ex-players on and off the park to begin with, but the fact that he had just got sent off and our player was still down on the ground injured.
I didn't get to see it real time, Derek, but I think obviously with being Barisic, and you know how Barisic is my sort of favourite player in the team at the moment, obviously I know that everyone's all right, but I think at the time I would have been more concerned about our player getting injured, you know, than anything else. So it's a bit of a strange one myself. Going back to the red card, Derek, it was a very sort of fast, as you say, tackle. It was a fast passage of play, and he slid in, and I think maybe, I don't know if the momentum maybe made it look worse than what it actually was. I don't think it was a red card, exactly like you said, but I definitely think it was a booking. And if the referee had showed the yellow card and then the red, we would have said, right, fair enough. But just a strange one that the referee saw it as a straight red, Derek. So yeah.
They have appealed it, so if they do win the appeal, it gets downgraded to a yellow card, so he would get sent off then.
So, I don't know.
I don't know how that's going to work, so that's the mystery of the Scottish football justice system there. So we'll see what happens with that, but obviously that's been in the media as of late, which we'll get into later on as well. We did go 4-0 up though on the 82nd minute with Glenn Middleton scoring. Ball crossed in from the right, defender chested it down right into the path of Middleton, who tapped it in past the keeper from within the 6-yard box. Just great vision from the youngster, and it was good to see him getting his first goal for the club as well.
Yeah, excellent. Nightmare defending for Dundee's point of view, right enough, giving the ball away right in front of the goal. But to be fair to the young guy, in the right place at the right time, and, you know, snatched on it and got the goal. So delighted for him, Derek. Another young player who we've got high hopes for. He certainly looks, you know, a confident young guy. He certainly looks as if he can take it all on his shoulders. So absolutely delighted for him. It must have been a great feeling as well, being at home and scoring your first goal and, you know, capping off a fantastic performance with the team. So absolutely delighted for him.
Yep. 87th minute, we did have the ball in the back of the net again from Lafferty, but it was offside. This time it was actually a correct decision, but it was a good play and a good cross from Middleton nonetheless. 89th minute, Lafferty had a header off the bar after a great cross into the box to find his head. And on the 91st minute, the ball was floated into the box and Goldson got the header to it, making the keeper make a great save. It was spilled, they couldn't quite get to it. It kind of hit off the post. The keeper tried to dive again for it. There was two other attempts and the referee then blew the whistle. I still don't know what it was for, whether it was for offside or the fact that the keeper was once again getting that much protection. But certainly, you know, the ball's not off the ground, it's in his kind of hands partially. The player's got to rightly go for it, so just disappointing we couldn't get it in the back of the net anyway, but that's nonetheless so. But certainly rounding off a very good victory, and as I said, that was quite good to see that Gerrard wasn't, you know, he still wasn't fully happy with the performance because he felt that we slacked off a wee bit on occasion, and, you know, he felt that we could have had more goals. That was, you know, it's a great attitude to have and something we've been longing for from our managers for so long now, isn't it?
Yeah, and you've got to think, Derek, if Morelos' goal in the, you know, right at the start of the game, if that had accounted, you know, we could probably have went on and scored more at that point. But it did take the wind out of their sails a wee bit at that point. But again, fair play to the team for going out. You know, when it was only 1-0 and the goal getting ruled offside, they were still hungry for it. You know, and that's a big difference for me.
Yep. So it leaves us in the table, played 5, won 2, drawn 2, lost 1, scored 10, conceded 5, goal difference plus 5 and points 8 just now. So with Celtic drawn on the Friday, that leaves us 2 behind Celtic and Livingston, 5 behind Hearts who are on top and have not lost a game so far. We're joint with Hibs and St Johnstone. We are 1 ahead of Killy and 2 ahead of Aberdeen. So at this stage of the season, you know, I've never, you don't even take into account the league standing just now, that where we are on the table. We just look at the where we are in terms of points. Celtic are going to drop points absolutely this season. I think we've seen that. There's disharmony in their camp. To any Celtic fans listening tonight, thanks for listening and boosting our numbers. You know, but you see, from it just annoys me so much that we gave them so much respect in that game we played against them, because they are there for the taking when you go at them. And I think once again, it's been proved that, you know, they are not an unbeatable team. They will drop points time and time again.
Yeah, no, Derek, and I'm sorry, I don't like to correct you, but we're actually 7 points behind Hearts.
7.
Who Hearts are on 15 points, we're on 8.
You're right.
So we're 7 points behind, but you were right, we're 2 points behind Celtic and Livingston in third place. So a wee bit behind Hearts, but fair play to Hearts, Derek. They're grinding out the results every week and they're getting the 3 points, but I'm hoping that their bubble will burst quite soon also and we'll just keep going on. That's kind of what I'm hoping, and we're playing Hearts in a few weeks' time, so we'll wait and see what happens there.
Yes. So the games to come, obviously we highlighted it before, it was on Thursday we're away to Villarreal.
Exciting stuff, Derek.
And you need to change your shorts now.
as though, Derek, this is the biggest game that we have had in what, 7 years?
Yeah.
Something like that. Absolutely incredible. Derek, there's no expectation. I don't care what anybody says. I know that we're Rangers. I know that as fans, we all always expect us to go out and win. But even, you know, 10, 12 years ago when we were playing in the Champions League, you know, regularly, we would still expect to have an incredibly hard game against Villarreal. You know, they're a team in La Liga. They've not had a great start to the season, but when you look at the likes, they've got Carlos Bacca up front, Derek, that says it all for me. It's going to be a really, really tough game, but I can't wait. I cannot wait just to see how far we've came, and I don't think we've got anything. We should go into that game with no fear, Derek, because I do honestly think that there's no expectations. Everybody's expecting us to get beat. And if we do go out and get beat, then so what? You know, we're still there. We never thought, you know, in a million years that we would get into the group stages this season. So, you know, it's all positive. I'm actually strangely confident, Derek, that we're going to get something from it. I really, really hope I'm right. But it's great to see. I honestly can't wait. And I'm working that night, but the good thing with being there, like kickoff, is I'll get to see the whole game before I go out. So absolutely delighted. And I know we've got a couple of players that are not going to be playing because of the suspensions, but talking about, you know, the squad that we have now, you know, we've got players to come in and cover, which is great. You know, it's fantastic having that depth in the squad, isn't it?
Yeah. So as you were talking about, Morelos and Flanagan are going to be out for the game because of the suspensions, as you said. That was the red cards they picked up in the UEFA game. Ryan Jack is also apparently ruled out after picking up a calf injury, so it's disappointing there.
Yeah.
In terms of fans, apparently we've only been allocated 2,200 tickets, and apparently some fans have booked for the home end. But under Spanish police advisement, they're classing it as a risk game. I think that's maybe because of the issues that the Spanish police had with with us
the last time,
all due to their own doing. By the sound of it, they've been cancelling tickets who've booked with a UK credit or debit card. So of hope that any fans that have got that get something sorted anyway.
Yeah.
Question that friend of the pod Scott put to me earlier on today for the pod is, what would be a respectable points total in this Europa League group?
Now, Derek, remind me, I know that things have changed. Shows you the last time that we've played in Europe, in the Europa League. Do we play each team home and away?
Yeah.
Because I know that at one point they're aye. So again, I didn't think that we would get past Maribor, Derek, to be honest with you. And we went out and we totally done them at Ibrox. So, you know, I would love to think that we could get, you know, 6 points at home, especially against Rapid Vienna, and hopefully against the Moscow team at Ibrox. I would hope that we could get 6 points against them. The Villarreal game, I honestly don't know, because I don't know what shape they're in. But going on paper, you would say that they would fancy their chances home and away against us. But if we could get anything from any of the Villarreal games, Derek, it would be huge, absolutely huge. If we could go over there and even get a draw over there, it would be incredible. And then Ibrox with the crowd, you know, helping us out. Anything can happen. And then the other two games as well, away from home, if we could get anything out of them. So I would say I would be hoping that we could get at least 6 points for the group stage, hopefully more. And again, that's no, we've not got any expectations really, Derek. Let's be honest. We would like to think that we could do well at Ibrox against all of those teams, but we'll wait and see what happens. I don't know what you think, Derek. I've got a feeling that ourselves and the, you know, Moscow will be pretty similar. They'll be thinking the same as us, that they could maybe get, you know, 6 points at home also. Maybe I'm being wrong. Maybe Rapid Vienna will come out and hammer everybody, because I don't know that much about Austrian football. But we'll wait and see. I honestly don't have any expectations, Derek. I think we should go out and the players should really, really enjoy the occasion and the supporters enjoy the occasion. And sometimes that's, you know, when you go into these games with no pressure, that's when we play our best stuff. So
yeah,
bring them on. Bring them all on, Derek.
From my point of view, we could end up with 0 points as long as we actually put in we don't disgrace ourselves. And that would be, you know, fairly happy with that. As you said, there's no expectation. We didn't expect to be this way. In terms of what Scott said, he's saying that going by last year, apparently it's round about an minimum of 8 points to qualify. He thinks about 6 points would be respectable and decent. His brother David said about 3 to 4. Other friend of the pod, John, also said maybe about 4. And our other friend, Stuart A, 10 points, unbeaten at home and a token draw in Vienna.
There you go. See, I mean, even thinking, maybe just be not optimistic or something, Derek, I don't know, but let's just go and play. Let's just go and play and take them on with absolutely no fear at all. And I think it would bring the best out of us. I honestly can't wait for Thursday. I think it's going to be fantastic.
I think Stuart was taking the piss because he says, beating Russia with Halliday taking the lads to Turkmenistan on the lash.
So, quality.
Yeah, I can't wait for that game. Next game after that is Sunday the 23rd of September at home to St Johnstone. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Then it's Wednesday the 26th of September at home to Ayr United in the League Cup quarter final. That's a 7:45 kickoff, so an important game again. And then the next game to round out September would be Sunday the 30th, which is away to Livingston, and that's a 1:30 kickoff. So we'll be back probably next week, won't it?
Yeah, I would say so, yep.
Yeah. So, that leaves that section there, so it's now time for the classic match.
And there it is! The final whistle's gone! Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup!
Dave, you've got a game that we humped the sheep, haven't you?
Yes, I do, Derek. I am taking us back in time to 2001. Back to the season, Dick Advocaat obviously being the manager. This was a bit of a, you know, a season of highs and lows. It was actually a season that Dick Advocaat vacated his managerial post and went and, you know, moved up the stairs, you know, when Alec McLeish came in. But this was early in the season, the first game of the season, 2001. Rangers had got rid of a few big name players, and there's the sort of three main signings of this season were Christian Nerlinger, Russell Latipe and Claudio Caniggia. Now, we'd all seen how well Caniggia had done. Obviously, the guy was an international star, Derek, back in the day. We didn't know what he would be like coming to Scottish football, but he certainly came to Dundee and, you know, set the Scottish football on fire that season. He was absolutely sensational. So we knew we were getting a great player, even although he was coming to the end of his career. You know, so that was your sort of three main signings. I'll run through the teams on that day. Aberdeen at that point did not have a lot of big name players in their team anymore. They were going through a transition themselves at that point. But Aberdeen team at that day: Priest, White, Gunvert, Solberg, Desconte, Darren Young, Robbie Winters, Derek Young, Maguire, McNaughton and Mackey. And their manager, if you can remember back, Derek, at that point was Ebbe Skovdal. Do you remember him?
I do, yeah.
Norwegian manager that came in. The Rangers team on that day: Stefan Kloss, Craig Moore, Arthur Newman, Tony Vidmar playing alongside Moore at centre-half in this game. That was my man, Big T, versatile. Fernando Rixon at right back. And then in midfield, Christian Nerlinger, Bert Conterman, Russell Latipe and Claudio Reyna. And up front, Claudio Caniggia and Michael Moyles on the bench for Rangers that day: Kenny Miller, Neil McCann, Hughes, Ross and Christensen in goals. So the game kicked off. Now, the first half was a bit of an edgy affair, Derek. You could tell that it was the first game of the season. They hadn't properly got, you know, they'd got through their pre-season, and this was the sort of first game. But Aberdeen applied the early pressure and won a corner, and they fired in a great ball right over the face of the goal, just for anybody, just to get on the end of. Thankfully, there were no takers. And then on the 11th minute, another chance for Aberdeen for a free kick again. A fantastic cross right into the centre of defence, missed by everybody, our defenders, and again, thankfully, by their strikers. 24th minute, need some great skill there with Arthur Newman on the left-hand side to Michael Moyles, who played a fantastic ball out to the Claudio Caniggia on the left. And he went on a run so fast and beat three players in the one go. He got to the back, the byline, and played a fantastic ball back to Michael Moyles. He has a shot which is blocked and comes back out to Christian Nerlinger, and he hits a shot, but it was also blocked and out for the corner. So first bit of pressure really from Rangers on the 24th minute. And then Claudio Caniggia was brought down on the edge of the box after another great passing move by Rangers. Free kick, which Russell Latipe stepped up, but just fired over the bar. But certainly at that point, Rangers had most of the play, but still, the scoreline was 0-0. Just before half-time, Christian Nerlinger with a long-range shot, but just over the bar, and that brought the first half to a close. Like I said, not too many chances, pretty edgy. But Rangers kicked off the start of the second half, but unfortunately Michael Moyles had a slight injury. He had to go off, and he was replaced by a young and sprightly Kenny Miller, who came on for Rangers. That was on the 53rd minute. And Rangers applying the pressure straight away in the second half. And then on the 55th minute, just 2 minutes after Kenny Miller comes on, Rangers managed to get their first goal.
Does get that across. Reyna trying to go in. And that's a beautiful goal by Nerlinger. He really took that superbly well. Very much like the chance and the opportunity that he converted the other night in Europe. Which he did with his right foot. This time it was the left foot. Cunningly set back for him. There wasn't much of a target to see, with such a cluster of players around him. And that's as neat a goal as he's ever scored.
Kenny Miller picks up a ball on the left-hand side on the wing. He had a long cross into the box, which was brought down by Claudio Caniggia, back to Claudio Reyna, who had his back to goal, played it to him, back to goal. He could see Nerlinger on the edge of the box, and he just played the perfect cushioned pass back to Christian Nerlinger on the edge of the box, and he shoots low into the bottom corner to make it 1-0 to Rangers and get his first goal for the club. Absolutely fantastic goal, superb stuff. 1-0 Rangers. And then after that, Claudio Caniggia with a sort of, it was a sort of long chip ball through to him that you never thought he was going to get on the end of, but actually managed to get a sort of half volley on there, fired it straight at the goalkeeper. That would have been a sensational goal for him, unlucky. And then Fernando Rixon with a fantastic through ball again to Claudio Caniggia, who stays onside, but again too much time in his hand because he runs through in goal. He had Kenny Miller free to his left, but he didn't. He took an extra touch, but fired it straight at the goalkeeper. Really should have scored their second goal at that point, but unfortunately it didn't happen. Then in the 66th minute,
Ladebe did that very well, hooking it through the middle. Here's Caniggia, lovely ball. Kenny Miller should have gone in further. Here's Caniggia with it. Penalty kick. Brought down as he went for it. Great effort by Caniggia again, slipping it on to Miller. I think Miller probably could have gone a couple of steps further. Goalkeeper did very well. And down he goes. Referee gives the penalty kick. Look at him pointing right away.
Everything's happening through Caniggia. A through ball to Kenny Miller, who has a great shot, which is saved by the goalkeeper. Back to Claudio Caniggia, but he is brought down inside the box, and that is a penalty to Rangers.
Russell Ladebe to take this. Clean as a whistle. Rangers are leading by 2-0. And he scores his first competitive goal for his new club. And seems to have enjoyed it. Well, the goalkeeper guessed rightly again. He's had a good game, but just angled that measured distance away from his fingertips. And there is a support which ended the season in dejection, now beginning to sound and look a little more optimistic.
Well, Russell Ladebe, also one of our new signings, he steps up and fires it right into the top right-hand corner to make it 2-0 to Rangers. Fantastic stuff in the driving seat. And then not long after that, Fernando Rixon sees Miller making a run, and he puts a high through ball, and Miller nods it over the goalkeeper. He was just unable to connect after that. Really unlucky play there by Kenny Miller. That ball gets cleared. And then on the 72nd minute, Rangers get another goal.
Here's Ladebe now. On towards Miller. It's a good ball. In it goes. Caniggia! Two front runners, and the Rangers support ecstatic about that wonderful swirling move. There's the pace of Miller, perfection with the pass, and Caniggia with his class doesn't miss these.
It was Bert Conterman this time. He picks the ball up in defence, plays the ball in midfield to Claudio Reyna, and then a great pass to Russell Ladebe, and then he just looks up and then he plays a fantastic high looped through ball to Kenny Miller on the left hand side of the box. He sprints down to the byline, and then a tremendous low cross right between the goalkeeper and the defence to Claudio Caniggia at the back post, and he smashes it into the back of the net. A sensational goal to watch, Derek. And that's how Rangers after that completely in control. We had another shot not long after that on the 82nd minute, and it was Russell Ladebe, but that was just over the bar again. And Rangers saw the match out after that, and it finished 3-0 to Rangers. Claudio Caniggia, absolutely sensational for Rangers that game. And the thing that got me, Derek, is we're still talking about Kenny Miller just now, and if you think of some of the players that Kenny Miller has played with, he can look back on his, you know, his career and said, you know, I set up the great Claudio Caniggia to score a goal, you know, during my career. And, you know, it's just, it's strange to think that the guy's still playing just now. I know there's a lot of us say, you know, yeah, everything that's happened to him, but he's had an incredible career, and it was great to see him play. He was outstanding in that game as well, Kenny Miller. But for me, the absolute standout performance of that game was Claudio Caniggia. It was absolutely sensational. You get the chance to go back and watch it, please do, and you'll get to see Caniggia in action. Can you remember much about that game, Derek?
You know me, I kind of remember, you know, two games ago, never mind, one to 2001. So, but yeah, great game, great performance, and great goals as well. And Kenny Miller, fuck him.
I always think back to Claudio Caniggia, Derek, and I always remember the season that he was let go from Rangers, and I always thought that it was a huge mistake. But Alec McLeish at the time letting Claudio Caniggia go, because I think we all knew that he was getting older, he wasn't as his stamina wasn't there like it used to be. But to be able to bring on Claudio Caniggia for the last 20 minutes in a match would have been, you know, absolutely fantastic, because for that 20 minutes he would have just went for it completely. And I think that we really did miss that, especially the following season when we were in the Champions League. I always remember that, saying to myself, why did we let Claudio Caniggia go at that point? We should have kept him on, should have given him another year on his contract, because for a player of his ability, for a player of his, you know, status in the game, you know, known all over the world for us playing in the Champions League, he would have been the perfect guy to bring on for the last, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And unfortunately, he didn't get it. I certainly think it was deserved anyway, Derek. But again, great looking back to see a player like that, Derek, because he was an absolute superstar. And even although he was at the end of his career with Rangers, he was still absolutely fantastic. And to think that we've had a player like him play for us is just, it's phenomenal. And you know, great memories. So again, if you get the chance to go back and see it, please do, because it was excellent.
Yep. So we will now go into the news. Right, a number of stories here, some controversial, some not, but firstly we'll start off... firstly we'll start off with Tavernier has signed a contract extension that will keep him here until the summer of 2022.
Yes.
So, certainly, like Bonellis's deal, doesn't necessarily mean that he's, you know, never going anywhere until then. It just means that people are going to need to pay a premium for him if he does end up going. But certainly, from the way he's been playing so far this year, then I don't see why he would want to go. But he's been pretty good, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. I think I always feel better when Candace is in the same wing as him, Derek. I think the two of them have got a great understanding. I think every time Candace plays, you know that Tav's going to have a stormer of a game. It's just the way it happens. And I think he scored his 50th goal for us there, Derek, which is quite a return for, you know, a fullback. So, you know, fantastic. Like I said, Derek, I think Tav's a great player. We've spoken in length about him being the captain and things like that. I've got my views on that, but no, absolutely delighted that he's signed a long-term contract with us. And as you say, it means that if anybody does want or show an interest in him, there's going to have to be a lot of money spoke about before, you know, we would even think about it. So, great move. And see, to be fair, Derek, I think he's relishing the fact that he is the captain now, isn't he? And I think he's relishing the fact that we're moving in the right direction and we've got a really good squad now. So I don't think the guy would want to move regardless, do you?
Well, certainly with as long as he keeps the way he's playing up, then, you know, I don't want him to go, obviously. But Next thing here, Rangers have launched the Rangers Pools app. 30p and every £1 will go towards the upkeep of Ibrox. Rangers obviously relaunched their Pools initiative a few months ago, but now an app is available on the Apple and Android devices to make it easier for fans to donate and or to basically be in the pools. And I think some of the prize funds are pretty big, so certainly a worthwhile cause, especially given the fact that Ibrox has been was in a state of disrepair for a number of years, and it's finally just getting, you know, redone, and now it's fantastic. So
good stuff.
Yep. Next thing here as well about signings, we've signed 18-year-old Northern Irish winger Chris McKee on a full-time contract. He came from Linfield. He's going into the youth ranks just now, but he's apparently been on our radar for some time.
Excellent.
So I don't know too much about him, but you know, you know, a good signing apparently from what the reports are. So
good stuff. Yep.
Yep. Rangers 11 side managed by Graham Murray will be playing a friendly against Northern Irish side Larne in October, I think it is. So I can't remember if it's for some sort of testimonial or just a wee trip or nothing, but certainly it'll be a select 11 side from the I think some of the first team and the youth team as well.
Certainly, it's always. I mean, Derek, you know the size of the fan base that we've got in Northern Ireland, so these games will always be a complete sellout, and it's great for the fans over there that we do make the trip every year. Do you know if we play some sort of match in Northern Ireland? Because you know the fan base is absolutely massive, so great for all the supporters over there that we're doing that, and I hope that there's you know, quite a few of the first team guys that go over so that they can go and cheer them on. So, no, great stuff.
Yep. David Whitehouse and Paul Clark, formerly administrators of Duff and Phelps, their £9 million lawsuit against Police Scotland and the Lord Advocate to be heard at the quarter session shortly. So, given the fact that it's a court case, don't want to say too much about it. I just don't understand, you know, they're thinking of this. It's about reputations and their loss of business, and they don't think that the police and the court's done their job properly, and it's all about, you know, they've breached human rights. Well, if they were suspects in a potential criminal case, then quite rightly they were going to get investigated, spoken to, arrested, etc., etc. So really don't know what they're talking about, to be honest, but again, we'll kind of leave that there, won't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. First bit of controversy. The SFA have come out and clarified why the red card for Morelos against Aberdeen was rescinded down to a yellow. They have stated, and I'm actually just shocked at this, they have stated that the ref has stated he was unsighted, and the linesman, who was the one who actually gave the decision, said he had a restricted view. The SFA have admitted that an error was made, but how the fuck can he give a decision if he's basing it on a restricted view where he never had a proper view?
Yep, exactly.
So, as I said on Twitter, I am not one for these bias in any conspiracy theories about, you know, officials against Rangers, but what else is there if that's what is getting done by officials, if they're admitting they've had a restricted view and they've never seen it?
At least they're admitting it this time, Derek. Do you know what I mean? That's is one thing, because you know, they could have turned around at any point and, you know, said no, I definitely seen it or whatever. But as you say, it's I think it just shows sheer incompetence more than anything else.
Every time we come up against these kind of bias claims from Celtic, we are all the, you know, SFA is corrupt against us, we've had 100 years of institutional bias and racism against us, they have no basis on it. They keep clinging on to the whole George Cadet thing, you know, where he was missing for two or three games, and one of them was an Old Firm game. Time and time again, they have no evidence to back it up, whereas the difference is Rangers have got evidence about this, and this is a clear kind of case of it. And as I said, I'm not one for the conspiracy. I just think that referees and officials, they've got a hard job, but they're fucking shocking at their job. Really, really bad.
Like I said before, Derek, we emphasise the decisions against us every week, but I did watch the, you know, highlights of the other games as well, and like I said, just the whole standard of refereeing at the moment is just so bad, it's unbelievable. And we seem to actually be talking more about referees these days than we do about the actual games, which is shocking. And as you say, that for the referee to come away with that, to say, you're sorry, the assistant to come away and say, you know, that they had an unsighted view, but they still gave the decision, is, you know, to me, it's just sheer incompetence.
That's exactly like the Morelos offside decision against Dundee. From the angle we've seen it at, where the linesman was in respect to the ball, the defenders and Morelos and our other attacker, Candeias, he is bound to have had another restricted view. So once again, it's a case of, if you haven't seen it properly, you can't give it. You can't just do guesswork. And this is where it seems to be a lot easier for them to, you know, give decisions against Rangers than it does any other team. And I know what you're saying about, you know, that there are shocking decisions. I think Aberdeen had a shocking red card that should never have been. Kilmarnock have had two against them now in quick succession. Obviously the Hibs penalty, I think, at the weekend, and then there was another sending off, which ultimately were game changing, you know. So I don't know what the solution is. Referees are only part time in this country. The SFA can't even afford a measly £5 million to buy their national stadium. They have to rely on questionable, you know, handouts from people that have got links to other clubs to actually afford to buy it. So it makes you wonder what the hell's going on if they can't afford to pay their referees a full-time wage and get them in and do proper work. It's just absolutely, you know, staggering that the SFA's short-sightedness on the issues with our game. And I've been told as well that it's something like £250,000 to put VAR systems in stadiums. So, you know, what was the SFA doing about that? Because surely you can't have it just for Premiership clubs and not for other clubs. Again, the punishment for referees is not punishment. They get demoted for a game, but then that means their incompetence is getting foisted on the, you know, the lower divisions. That's no right for the other divisions, is it? So
no, there's no
punishment there for shocking decisions like that.
You're talking about the VAR thing there, Derek. I was listening to something on Talk Sport the other day that I thought was quite interesting, and I'm hoping that is the case. But already there are companies out there who are working on these systems that are hoping that are going to be, you know, approved by various, you know, by UEFA and stuff like that, that they don't have to use the same company as long as they are all UEFA approved. And there could be companies out there that are going to be using equipment which is much more affordable in certain leagues, and it doesn't have to be, you know, the ones that are, you know, as long as it's to a certain standard. So hopefully we can maybe see that, you know, soon. Something that could be put in the grounds that's, you know, going to be a lot, you know, more affordable for clubs and hopefully used, because until we're getting something like that, we're not going to get any, you know, clarity on a lot of things, are we? And it's, I was totally against the VAR at the World Cup because I thought it kept, you know, putting a stop in play and things like that. But going by, as you say, some of the decisions that are going, you know, against us and for other clubs as well, it's maybe the only way forward at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there was even just simple things like, you say simple, but basic technology that's been around in other sports now, where it was goal line technology that was used in the English Premiership, and it worked perfectly just at the weekend there, where the referee got a buzzer on his wrist because he was wearing a special watch, which if the ball went over the line, it buzzed on his wrist. And also within, you know, seconds, I think they had a Hawkeye type system up as well that they showed that the ball clearly went over the line. So the technology is there, it works, it's, you know, it's allowed in leagues. So the SFA, as I said, very short-sighted in what they're doing with our game, but that's nothing new, is it? Next thing we get over onto with the SFA is former SFA chief George Peat has revealed that, this is his quote here, "I remember when Rangers got to the final in Manchester, I got a phone call from a prominent chairman of a club requesting me not to help Rangers in any way." We kind of thought that there was something dodgy going on about the... This is obviously relating back to the 2008 run to the UEFA Cup final and the fixture congestion. And it was... I think they extended the league by maybe about 1 or 2 days. They never helped us at all in any way.
No, they didn't, Derek, because the league finished the cup final finished when it was supposed to finish. So yeah, get that notion. We've been getting this thrown at us loads of times. Oh, there was, they did change it for you and all of that. No, they didn't. The league still finished the day that it should have finished, on the Scottish Cup final. So there was no favours given to us whatsoever. So no, folk can forget that notion altogether.
Now, George Peters came out and said he's not going to reveal the, you know, who said it, but I think there comes a point now, you can't, you know, 10 years after the event, throw that hand grenade in there and just say, all right, well, that's what I'm not saying. You can't, I'm not revealing the full story. I think that, you know, certain people, especially Big Jig, have called for him to actually, you know, reveal who it was.
I listened to a lot of, Bill Young on Rock Sport, Derek on his phone, and then he, and, you know, especially on Twitter, he's another one that's called out to say, you know, you can't do this. This is going to, you know, you're going to have to come out and name the person as. I mean, we all have an idea who the person is. You know, if you look back to see who the chairman was at a certain time, a very outspoken chairman at the time, certainly who I think it was anyway. And he did say prominent chairman of a club, so a lot of people are thinking that it was maybe, you know, from a, you know, a chairman from a smaller club, but you know, we can all guess who it was at the time. But you know, as you say, you drop that one in there and say that you're no going to name it, I think there's going to be a bit of a public outcry now to make sure that that does happen. So I will wait with bated breath to see if anything does get said. But like you, Derek, it's going to have to come out in the open now, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I have no issue with a rival club or any club who plays against us not wanting us to do well or hoping the governing body won't assist in us and trying to help us. I have no issue with that at all. What I do have a major issue, though, with is that said club trying to influence governing bodies to not give us a fair deal. And that's the problem for me, you know, and it's quite clear throughout the last maybe 10 years at least that the Celtic have been doing that with the SFA. So, and they have been embedding themselves in the SFA and making sure that members that favour Celtic have been in there and in the governing bodies and in prominent places within the Scottish government and councils. It's quite clear that that's been happening and they're reaping the benefits of it.
Well, so allegedly.
No, I don't think there's any allegedly about, you know, having influential members who are friends in places. It's quite clear from the SPFL guys, you know, place, and that's kind of went dark now, that he's got a prominent seat in the SPFL with clear links to Celtic. It's the same with other council members and, you know, members of government as well. It's clear. I mean, what was John Reid? I mean, he's one of the guys we're talking about right now in terms of the phone call. He could have been that person. He was the former Home Secretary, was he not?
Yes, yep, so, that's correct.
You know, there's a very influential person in that can open a lot of doors for a particular club. So
I think that's the very man that the vast majority of people think that is who he was talking about, Derek, to be perfectly honest with you. And I mean, another thing for that season, Derek, that is getting brought up, and it made my blood boil. But I mean, when you're talking about influential decisions that went, you know, for them, you know, you only have to look at absolutely disgraceful scenes on the Old Firm game that they got postponed because of the death of Phil O'Donnell.
Yeah.
You know, a guy who hadn't been playing with him for over 10 years. There was, you know, I honestly don't know. I could get corrected here, but I don't know if there was any of the players in the current in that squad that played alongside him. And it just so happens that they were, you know, struggling majorly with injuries and suspensions before the, you know, the new year fixture with us, where we were flying. And they used that excuse and they managed to get the game cancelled for some incredible reason. But yet the team, I can't remember who it was that actually played,
United, aye.
You know, that played on the day that, you know, he actually collapsed and died on the field. they actually fucking played the game. It makes my blood boil just even thinking about that, Derek, the fact that they got away with that, and it was made out that they were far too upset to play because of the tragedy. They used that guy's death as an excuse to get out of a game of football.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get much more fucking scummy than that, Derek. You really can't. And it was all seen, and I remember it was on the newspapers and everything. Oh, yes, our players couldn't go through that. You know, they're all too upset, and it's been a dark day for the club. And, absolutely disgraceful, Derek. Absolutely, no shame whatsoever, that club. And then when you hear about things like this happening as well, it makes my blood boil. It really does.
Yep. So we'll try and calm down now. Some other news here is Carlos Queller has left Beitar Jerusalem after just 2 months there, citing difficult circumstances for the reason for his leaving. So a bit mysterious, that one. He had only joined them in the summer, obviously, and weirdly, that was my first ever competitive game where I seen Rangers play. It was against Beitar Jerusalem, yeah, in the UEFA Cup back in the day. Queller is only 37, so given the fact that we've just signed a 38-year-old for that same position, Stevie, bring him home.
But I know we were heavily linked with him. Was it last season, Derek, or the season before? We were heavily linked. I think maybe 2 seasons ago it would have been a fantastic signing for us, but he's a bit of a journeyman now. But certainly it was when we had him, Derek, he was absolutely sensational, a fantastic player, and that was that actual season that we're talking about that Queller was playing for us. Was in that season when we got to Manchester, when we played all those matches. But it was absolutely sensational, and really unlucky that he got away with winning two cups for us. But should have been a lot more if we weren't fucking cheated out of it.
Another former player and former assistant, Jonathan Johansson, has been appointed the new Greenock Morton manager in a 2-year deal. He'd previously been a coach there, and he left, obviously, Rangers, I think it was just before Gerrard's team came in. So good luck to him there.
Definitely, yes, right.
David Bates has came out and slammed Graham Murty's comments about him moving to Hamburg as complete lies. Basically, Murty intimated that it was all about down to money. David Bates has finally came out and kind of challenged that, saying it was about feeling appreciated from a club and the way Hamburg went about it. Bates has stated that when he asked for a new contract at Rangers, but he never got one, and by the time Rangers got around to talking to him, other options were on the table, and Hamburg were obviously one of them, and they had courted him very well. So conflicting stories there. We don't know who to believe, but it's ultimately there's going to be a bit of money about it anyway, isn't there? You can never get away from that fact.
At the time, Derek, I was disappointed that he went away, because I did like David Bates, but looking at what we have now, Derek, it is a massive upgrade on anything that we had last season, any of the defenders. So I really don't care too much now, because I know that the defenders that we've got are absolutely fantastic at the moment, so I don't care. So good luck to the guy. I hope he does well. A young Scottish guy playing out in Europe, and certainly Hamburg are a massive club, even although they're not playing in the top league anymore. They're a massive, massive club, and playing in that standard will certainly be as good, if no better, than the vast majority of clubs in the the Premier League in Scotland. So, it's just he's a young guy that's got away. He's still getting his place in the Scotland under-21 team, and who knows, he might be back someday a better player. So we just have to rub our hands at that one and get on with it.
Yep. And the last story here is, it just kind of broke earlier on tonight, is 9 Celtic fans have walked free from court over the effigy hanging at Parkhead in 2016 due to a technicality. Basically, the Crown didn't do full disclosure of evidence against them to their lawyers. So it's just another one of these things where it should have been something very simple to do, and the Crown and the courts have fucked up, doing this kind of thing, because obviously, I'll not even go there with Craig White, but So I really don't know what to say about that. You know, once again, there are people walking off scot-free for something that was just a pure technicality rather than actual, you know, being found guilty or not guilty. It's a disgrace, to be honest, isn't it?
The act itself was absolutely disgusting, Derek, and I'm not just saying that because it was against us. There's, you know, the amount of people who have been affected by things, you know, linked to what they were, you know, portraying there, even in their own fans. There must have been a lot of their own fans out there. I know there was a lot of their own fans. I know at least three that were absolutely genuinely disgusted by what was done there because they had personal experiences with, you know, I can't really go into it, but I know that there was a lot of fans from, you know, not just us, that were absolutely sickened by seeing what had happened and the fact that these guys have walked off scot-free. Derek, is just, it's really, really disappointing. And, you know, as you say, for it to be a technicality as well, the fact that they'll not face any charges or anything like that now, it's just really, really sickening for a lot of us, isn't it?
So, Dave, there's several Scottish sex terms you all need to know, apparently.
Right, okay.
Scots is a beautiful language, whether used by rabbi burns or renting emerging from the toilet and train spotting. While it might not be considered a sexy way of speaking to some, no one can deny the raw power that comes from the Scottish accent. I mean, we're two people that we've been told that we've got a weird Scottish accent, so haven't we?
I've been told that many occasions, apart from when I'm in America, where I'm told that my accent's absolutely sensational. So, I mean, speaking to other people from different parts of the country, where I've been called everything from having a Glaswegian accent to having a Chuchter accent to having a Edinburgh accent. So I've got a bit of a strange one, and we've had a few people over the years that have been listening to the pod that have said that we've got a bit of a strange accent, as you say.
So I'm going to give terms here, and I want to see what your definition is, right. And I'll give you the definition what they've given here.
Go for it.
Tadger.
That's your bobby.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, you should say that. Another word for penis sometimes has connotations of the aforementioned member being small in size, so watch out for the tone when you hear this one. He's got his tadger stuck in his zip, the poor fucker.
Right, well, I think we've both heard that one, yeah. So...
Next one. FUD.
A quality word, Derek. A quality word, isn't it?
It could be. My definition is Lorenzo Amoruso.
Now, the word FUD, I don't think, actually gets used to describe the female part. I think it's more used to describe somebody that's been a bit of a tube or an idiot. Do you not think so? But it's supposed to... you know, be another word of the female genitalia. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, it can mean vagina or can be used as a derogatory term. Yes. Certainly not the sexiest word when you're getting down to it, but packs a punch when said in regular conversation. Wait for the green man before crossing the road, you daft fud.
Okay.
Or let's see your fud, hen.
I think you would get punched in the puss if you were to say that. I think so.
Ganton.
I would say smelly or disgusting.
No, quite. To be ganton on something is to be gagging for it or want it very badly. Can be used interchangeably with horny, depending on how you say it. I'll tell you one thing, he was clearly ganton on it. Couldn't he get my trousers off quick enough?
No, I would say that ganton is, oh my god, that is ganton.
Yeah.
As in, like, disgusting.
Chug.
Is that chug? I would say that was a slang word for masturbation.
Yes. I'm so lonely, I've been chugging, but it's like it's going out of fashion. Even cracked one out to Holmes Under the Hammer yesterday.
I'll never be able to watch that programme again, mate. That's me. You put me off it.
Right, now this is the last two last ones here.
Chuck.
Diddy ride.
I have not heard that term since I was in high school.
This is the reason why we'll probably never get a sponsor this section here.
Derek, I know what it is, but you're going to please explain or explain. It's all to do with women's breasts. Yes. Is that correct? Right.
In English, this is likely called a titwank.
Oh my God.
And the last one here, stoner.
Stoner. When a man is aroused.
Yes, a Glaswegian term for an erection. Ha ha ha. Look at Ali. He's got a right stoner on Dancing with Helen.
No, my favourite all the terms, Derek, definitely the second last one. As I say, I've not heard that since I was at high school, so hilarious. Brilliant.
So On that note, that rounds up our podcast. So, as you may have seen on our Twitter feed, as we have now got the podcast out on Spotify. So anyone who has got access to Spotify, go and take a listen to us on that. Certainly, I know Scott, our friend Scott, was asking for that to be put on, so it was a new thing we were looking at anyway, and I did speak to Dave about that beforehand, so it's now out on that. We
Excellent.
Are obviously out on YouTube as well. We are changing things about. It'll be the same podcast, but it'll look slightly differently. Maybe rather than the full logo, the full size of the image, it might have a few other logos on it. It's just the new way I'm doing it to try and cut time now. We have got our Twitter feed, which is at iReadyPod. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/iReadyPod. Our website is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com. We have our Instagram feed as well, which hasn't been updated for a while. That's obviously because we're not going to the game. Well, I'm not going to the games anymore, and Dave's not been for a while, but I've still to update them with the pictures we've taken from the Ibrox tour as well. So.
Oh, yeah, because we've got a lot to put on there. Yeah, we'll have to get that sorted.
So, as Dave and I said, we'll be back probably next week, not long after the game on Sunday. But so, that's just to say thanks for listening and goodbye.
Yep, thanks for listening, guys. Look forward to Thursday and we will speak to you next week.
Bye.
Cheers.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
That's cool.